in spite of all those existing religions, why the Buddha wanted to introduce another religious way of life?
在座的各位善友，首先我想表达我衷心的建议，同时感激我们佛陀教育基金会这么多年来把佛法弘扬到全世界。我们可以说，在全世界没有哪一个佛教团体像贵会一样印证这么多的佛书。我也确信在未来的日子里头，贵会必然会获得更多的扶持，继续弘法的神圣事业。今天晚上是我台湾之行最后一场演讲，明天我就要离开台湾。今天的讲题是我们为什么必须修持佛法，这个题目非常的重要。在这么多的宗教里头，为什么我们必须修持佛法呢？宗教可以说非常的混乱，不仅仅是在今天这个样子，即使在佛陀的时代，宗教已经非常的混杂。当时有62种不同的宗教，在既有的那么多的宗教之间，为什么佛陀还要介绍一种新的修持方式呢？为什么他还要另外讲出一套新的宗教生活方式呢？其中有它的道理在。
All those existing religions we can categorize into 4 groups. Natural religions, revealed religions, organized religions, and institutional religion. 4 groups. The first one, natural religion. How religion was originated in the man's mind at the beginning. They could not understand the nature, natural phenomena, natural occurrences. When everything goes against them, when they are not in favor of them, they develop fear. Then they started to think how these things take place, like thunder, lightning, flood, earthquake, volcanic eruptions. They could not understand. Then they developed fear, thinking that there must be some sort of external force that which create all these disturbances. On the other hand, having seen the sun and the moon, the galaxies, earth, jungles, rocks, hills, they thought they are living in this world through the influence of all these things. To express their gratitude and to influence them to function in their favor, they started to worship. Then worshipping, praying, offering, started to all these natural things by creating the idea that there must be very strong force behind them. That is how the natural religions originated. Still, in certain countries, people pay more attention towards these natural religions.
在所有的宗教里头，我们可以把它们分为四大类。第一大类就是所谓自然的宗教，第二大类是组织化的宗教，第三大类是哲理化的宗教，第四大类是制度化的宗教。第一大类的自然宗教源起于人类对于宇宙有很多不知的地方，先人看到了雷电，看到了下雨，看到了日月星辰，以为在这些万象的后面应该有一个主宰的力量，因为不了解这么多自然的现象，因而产生恐惧。另一方面又看到高山深谷、河流、火山爆发、洪水种种的现象，他们也恐惧也担心，因而就像他们所认为的主宰力量给予崇敬，给予奉献，想要讨好这些所谓的主宰力量，因而就产生了这种自然的宗教。即使到今天，世界上的某些地区仍然还有自然宗教的存在。
Later they developed humanism. Humanism means duties and responsibilities, obligations and cooperations and assistance to each other. After that, they slowly introduced certain principles for human beings to uphold as humane qualities. Later, they thought, if they introduce all these principles or disciplines or humane qualities as human principles, people do not take seriously. Then they developed the concept of God. This concept of God originated in the mind by not knowing the cosmic law. When you study Indian history of religion, we can find one particular god, the figure of one particular god is called dancing god. One leg, you see here, the other leg is always like this. You might have seen this, called dancing god. In India, they say Nataraja. Nataraja means the chief of the dancer. Then, to indicate this cosmic dance, scientists later discovered what it is. But at that time, they thought this must be some person So first they started to worship energy. They were known as Shakti worshippers, energy worshippers. Later, this Shakti or this energy, they have transformed or personified into a figure, then given the name God. The concept of God first appeared in the man's mind by transforming that energy into a figure. Then they introduce these principles, these disciplines, these commandments, these religious laws come down from heaven, from the God, for human being to uphold. After that, introduce this as a revealed religion, revealed by the God.
人们设计出一套戒律的系统，以为规范生活的准则。可是后来却发现，人们对这套做人的准则 并不怎么样子关心，并不愿意来遵守，因此就衍生出神或者是上帝的概念。虽然他们对宇宙的法则并不了解，他们只是 以为世间的运转现象应该是有一个神，有一个上帝在那边指挥着。只要我们研究印度的宗教史，就可以发现印度的神是一种跳舞的神，一只脚 站在地上，另外一只脚抬起来，就好像跳舞的样子一样，我们称之为跳舞之神，或者是跳舞之王。为什么会有这种概念？那是表示着宇宙好像在跳舞一样，宇宙 是在律动着，后面有一个动力。当然，后代的科学家已经探讨出这宇宙律动的动力是什么，可是古时候的人不知道宇宙律动的动力是什么，他们就 崇拜能量，后来就把这个能量给人格化，想象出能量是一个具体的上帝，是一个具体的神，因为有这个上帝，有这个神的关系，这个宇宙才会 运转，而我们世间的万物都是有这个人格化的神，也就是人格化的能量所创造、所衍生出来的。人们呢，就对这个神加以崇拜、加以奉献。Later,
those people who could manage to think very deeply get together and discussed and organized plans how to practice a religion. Then introduce, this is the way how to conduct a religious service. blessing service, rites, rituals, ceremonies, duties, discipline, behavior, all these things have been introduced by those thinking people who could understand human mentality to organize all our religious activities in proper manner, systematically. But earlier, all was scattered, there was no proper organization. So systematically organized religious way of life is called organized religion.
后来，那些比较聪明人、会思考人，就聚集在一起讨论，要将礼拜、祭祀、上帝、神的种种仪式、戒律、修行的方法、道德准则加以系统化，加以条文化，制成一套的系统。过去呢，人们在祭祀、在礼拜神的时候是漫无章法的，这些会思考的人们呢，就制定了一套的祭祀、礼拜的仪式，因此我们称之为组织化的宗教。
Institutional religion. Further development of organized religion. Morals, ethics, way of life, duties, responsibilities. Very systematically introduced to educate people as religious education, as religious principles, as religious duties, as moral conduct, character building. So all these good qualities introduced systematically as an educational system, and that is called institutional religion.
后来呢，就产生了所谓的制度化宗教。制度化的宗教就是将宗教修行里头相关的伦理道德、礼拜思想种种的规范加以制度化，这些制度化就变成了人民遵循的法则，也成为宗教教育的内容。这种宗教我们称之为制度化的宗教。
Buddhism is not belong to any of these four groups. It is an independent religion. Then how Buddhism come into existence? When Prince Siddhartha was a young boy, one day he was sitting under a garden, under a tree in a garden. He saw suddenly a snake come and catch a frog. Now the frog is struggling to escape. The snake is struggling to swallow. He was watching. When this battle was going on, another big bird come down from the sky and taken away the snake. The frog is still in the mouth. That incident has become the turning point in his mind for him to determine to find out what is the secret of this life. If existence is like this in this world, every living being depends on the other living being. big ones depend on the small ones. Critters for survival. So from the very beginning up to the end, the one follow the other one follow the another one. Others is called existence. Then what is the cause? What is the benefit or the meaning, the purpose of this existence? Every living being is struggling to escape from the death. Another one tried to come and fetch. This is called existence. After thinking for a long period, discussing with various other teachers who taught him, he could not get the answer. Why living beings have to suffer like this? What is the meaning of this existence? What do we gain in the end? No answer. Then, at the age of 29, he decided, time has come for me to give up everything, renounce, go out, and to find out. Because all the others are in the dark. They do not know why they suffer. They do not know why they exist. For what purpose? I must try to find out. Then he renounced a spent for 6 years by following various religious teachers, their instructions, guidance, methods, practices introduced by them. He practiced everything, but he could not gain what he wanted. Then he decided, I should not follow any of those existing religious teachers' guidance. I must use my independence, mind, to find out the truth, the reality in life. Then, after working independently, without depending on another person, finally, he gains enlightenment. After gaining this enlightenment, he announced, I think it's too much for you.
当时有一位年轻人，他在花园的一棵树下，坐在那个地方，看到了有一条蛇，前面呢有一只青蛙，蛇想要吃青蛙，青蛙呢就在那边担惊，被蛇吃掉，蛇就咬住了那一只青蛙。那时候天上有一只老鹰，这只老鹰就飞下来，把嘴里面含着青蛙的蛇给啄走了。这位年轻人看到了这一幕情景，心里头的疑惑无法解开，他认为世间的众生如果都是这个样子，如果都是一种众生依赖着另外一种众生，一种众生恐惧着另外一种众生，一种众生想要伤害另外一种众生，而另外一种众生却在努力逃避被伤害。如果是这个样子，生命存在的原因何在？意义何在？目的何在？我们生命大 到底是怎么回事呢？他就请问了他所有的老师，也请教了所有的宗教师，可是都没有得到正确的答案。他百惑不得其解，因此在29岁的那一年，他决定这应该是离开世俗的生活，出家去寻找生命的真谛、生命的实相的时刻了。因而他就出家了。出家之后请教了当时所有的宗教师，也跟这些不同的宗教师来学习不同的法门。所有的法门他都尝试过，可是却没有办法得到他想要的答案。如此先后经过了6年，他决定他不再依赖当时现有的宗教师，也不再修习当时现有的法门，他想要自己去探讨。之后他就开悟了，他开悟了，他就发了这么个大心，想要将他所觉悟的人生真谛来让所有一切的众生了知。因此我们可以知道，佛教是跟上述四种宗教是不一样的，它是完全独立于上述四类宗教之外的。
The Buddha was not a messenger of any god. The Buddha was not a prophet. The Buddha was not a son of god. The Buddha was not sent by another Buddha. That is the effort that he used life after life by cultivating, developing, eradicating all the good qualities and the bad things. To understand this very clearly, there was an incident. A Brahmin, the follower of another religion, one day happened to meet the Buddha. But this man has never seen such serene, so peaceful, appealing to the mind, features, complexion. When he considered, he thought this person cannot be a human being. He thought this must be a god. Then approached the Buddha, straight away asked, may I know whether you are a god? The Buddha said, no, I am not a god. Then asked, may I know whether you are any supernatural living being? He said, no, I am very natural. Then he asked, may I know whether you are an ordinary man? No, I am not an ordinary man. Then puzzling this in his mind, then who are you? Then the Buddha gave the answer. It's a very important saying in his language, but the idea is important. How he introduced himself. If anybody asks actually who the Buddha is, Abhi the answer. The original saying is like this. Abhinyayang abhinyatang bhavetabvanch bhavitang pahatabvang pahinang me tasma buddhosmi brahmana. Meaning, abhinyayang abhinyatang. I understood everything in this universe that which exists. life after life, developing, cultivating my mind. Bhavetabhancha bhavitam. I have practiced all the good qualities, virtues, morals, ethics, everything. Pahatabhang pahinang me. I have eradicated all the evil, wicked, harmful, immoral thoughts, words and actions. Tasma buddhosmi brahmana. Brahmana, therefore I am the Buddha. These are the qualities of a Buddha. This is the way how he introduced himself.
Buddha 并不是想象中的上帝, 他也不是上帝, 也不是先知, 也不是上帝所派遣下来的, 更不是另外一尊佛所派遣而来的, 佛是经过 生生世世, 修行, 了知世间实相, 而得到觉悟的人。 当时有一位波罗门, 他看到佛陀, 世间再也没有一个人 像佛陀这般的安详, 这般的宁静, 这般的庄严, 这般的瑞相, 他就很讶异, 走进佛陀的面前, 问他, 你是什么人呢? 佛陀的答案, 这里就很重要了, 我们要看看, 佛陀如何来介绍, 他自己，这位波罗门就问佛陀：“你是一个什么？否则你为什么会那么的庄严，那么样的安详呢？”佛陀说：“我不是神。”这位波罗门要问：“那你应该是一个超人吗？”佛陀说： 我不是一个超人。波罗门紧接着又问：“那你应该是一个普通的人呢？”佛陀说：“我不是一个普通的人。”佛陀怎么介绍他自己呢？他怎么说？世间一切的道理， 我透过生生世世的修行研究探索，我已经完全明白了。世间一切的伦理道德善行美德，我都已经做得圆满的。世间一切的恶事、 坏的思想, 不好的言语, 种种错误, 不好的邪恶的, 我都已经完全清净的。因此, 我是一个觉悟的佛。When
he delivered his first sermon, Dharmachakra Sutra, there he mentioned Chakkhum Udapadi, Jnanam Udapadi, Panya Udapadi, Vidya Udapadi, Aloko Udapadi. Five kinds of extraordinary wisdom that he gained with his enlightenment. So he says, Pubbesu Ananusutesu Dhammesu. This I never experienced before. Earlier, this is the first time. Only after gaining enlightenment. What are those five things? Chakkhung Udapadi. In English we say divine eyes, that is English language terms. Divine vision, that means the things that we cannot see properly, the Buddha can understand what it is about the world or the universe or the nature or phenomena and other world system, and even one particular object, we can see only the visual object, but we do not know how to penetrate our mind into that object to understand what it is. That is called divine vision. He got it. Panya Udapadi. Knowledge, understanding, to analyze the whole universe. How things come into existence, why they change, why they decay, why they disappear, and what happened to it. We create our own imagination, but through that enlightenment, that wisdom, he can understand anything that which exists in this universe. Panya Udapadi. Extraordinary knowledge is called Panya, not ordinary knowledge. That is called supreme wisdom. This supreme wisdom to analyze the world into mundane world or supramundane world. Take for instance, universe, he divides into three. Kamaloka, Rupaloka, Arupaloka. Mundane world, sensual world, like humans, animals, devas, who experience sensual pleasure. One world system. Rupaloka, fine material world, where living beings, devas and brahmas experience very luminous, very refined physical body for them to experience life very smoothly. Not a big battle like human life or animal's life. That is another world system. Then Arupa Loka, the life exists without a body. Because body is the house, life is inside the body. This is the house. So the life occupies this house and exists. In this part of the world, life cannot exist without a shelter. This is the shelter. But in that part of the world, life can exist without a shelter, without the body. So he analyzed in three ways. That is supreme wisdom. Again he analyzed the world system. Satta loka, sankhara loka, and akasa loka. The whole universe again analyzed into three. Satta loka, world systems where there are different kinds of living beings. You can see. World systems where there are only elements, no living beings. Astronomers have seen many of them, still they could not find out living beings, but they suspect definitely there must be some living beings. Again, akasa loka, a space without element. The whole universe divided into three categories in this way. Only by using that supreme wisdom, a person can understand what these universes are.
Buddha, 在初转法轮的时候，他这么说：当我开悟之后，我具备了四种特殊的能力，这是我以前所没有的。首先，佛陀他说，我具备了天眼的能力。所谓天眼的能力，就是能够看到一切种种 事物后面所隐藏的道理。我们一般人只能够用视觉来看一样东西的外貌而已，没有办法看清外貌后面所隐藏的真相。这是佛陀他说他有具备的一种能力。第二种能力我们称之为法眼。我们看到一件事情，往往只看到一件事情当时的情况，可是佛陀他有了法眼之后，能够看到一件事物的前因后果。一件事物它为什么会这么样的呈现，它的组成因缘是些什么，将来它又会如何的变化。佛陀说这个是他开悟之后他所具备的能力。第三种就是智慧之眼，慧眼。慧眼跟我们一般所谓的智慧、聪明、才智是不一样的。佛陀的慧眼，他看到了我们世间的众生，有一类的众生我们称之为欲界的众生，除了有肉体之外还有种种的欲望。佛陀看清这些众生的肉体是由地水火风空五大所构成，而这些众生的欲望、众生的心是由受想行识所构成的。他又看到有另外一类的众生，那就是色界天的众生。色界天的众生仍然有肉体、有心意识的作用，只是压制的欲望。第三类的众生称之为